Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the last half of the gospel, beginning at verse 60, which I'll read again for our hearing. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we know and we believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Today, my dear friends, you will hear Jesus' perfect testimony concerning himself. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ Jesus, well, you've been hearing over the last 3 weeks three readings from the book of St. John. And according to the Gospel of John here in the 6th chapter, there is some hard teaching, isn't there? There are some things that we just can't always wrap our minds around. Jesus feeding 5,000 with 3 loaves and 5 fish. The people wanting to make Jesus a bread king. Jesus telling the Jews that, yes, they had manna in the desert, but that's not real food. Rather, he is the real manna, the spiritual in eating and drinking of this bread from heaven will give you life. And then today, you hear a perfect testimony. Today, Jesus tells you and me some hard, offensive teaching. You see, at this time, the people that have now been traveling with Jesus, and it wasn't just the 12, by the way, there was a large group traveling with Jesus, and they believed that this man was special. He was a special rabbi, a special teacher, that he was sent from God. After all, he did raise the dead. He did feed 5,000 plus. He proved that he has total authority over demons. He had proved that he is the Messiah. But, yes, there were some who objected. As you heard last week, John calls them the Jews, a term that he uses 70 times to point out to the early church and to point out to this church that Jesus had very serious enemies, enemies who wanted to destroy him. And what did they object to? That Jesus is the bread of life who have come down from heaven. That's what they objected to. Wait a minute. He can't be from heaven. He was born in Nazareth. We know his mother. We know his father. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. He's a Nazarene. He's a Jew, just like us. How can he say he's from heaven? Sound familiar? There are people who still believe this and still teach this today, that Jesus was just a good man, a devout Jew who had special powers. He was like a Superman, if you will. Oh, he was just another great prophet. No different than Isaiah, because God worked miracles through the prophets also. And then, of course, we usually hear around Easter or Christmas that Jesus was just a man like you and me, and he was even married, and he even had children. But then there were the other group. The other group, the people who followed him, they heard something that they just couldn't accept. They must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Who can accept it, they said. Actually, in the original language, it actually says, who can accept him? You see, this was offensive to him. It scandalized them. And when offensive teachings like this, when the unbeliever hears it, when the person who is of not of right mind, of the not right spiritual mind, we could say, when they hear things like this, they are scandalized. And it leads people to fall into a spiritual trap, into a spiritual snare. Now, I know there are some of you here present who like to trap animals. And what happens when an animal is trapped? What happens when a person is trapped in a spiritual snare? They can't get out of it. You see, you and I, if we are trapped in a sin, it's very hard for us to get out of it by ourselves. Someone has to be there to release the animal. Someone has to be present in our life to release us, to forgive us of this sin. But you see, those who took offense at Jesus, they had fallen into this trap of thinking that Jesus was just a man. They had seen these great works, but he can't be from God. He can't be the Messiah. They were actually speaking words of unbelief. Why were they offended? The unbeliever will always be offended at the truth. The unbeliever never wants to hear the truth of their sins, that their sins will condemn them. Maybe some of you don't like hearing the truth of your sins. Maybe there's that one special little sin that you like to hold on to. Repent, for if you don't repent, you will be condemned. For the Lord is clear, if you do not repent, then you are in danger of hellfire. Remember our Lord's first words when he began his miracle, when he began his ministry. His very first word wasn't, maybe you should think about it. No, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of your sin and be saved. You see, the fleshly mind, the earthly mind cannot accept what Jesus is saying here. You have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. In other words, you must believe in Jesus, the one who was crucified, and you must believe in Jesus, the one who has shed his blood to save the whole world, the very Lamb of God, who washes away the sins of the world. And there are people who just can't accept this. They just can't accept that Jesus hung from a cross and that his blood, his holy precious blood, washes away their sins. They just don't want to believe it. They just can't accept the fact that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and he has proven it. The tomb is still empty. The tomb is still empty. Jesus' body will never be found because, as Scripture tells us, he was seen by Mary Magdalene, by his disciples, and by over 500 witnesses. And then his disciples saw him ascend into heaven. And the angels stood there with him and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the sky?" Kind of making fun of them. For this same Jesus who has ascended will come back the very same way. There are people who just can't believe this. And Jesus tells those who turn away from him, even if he ascends into heaven, they still won't believe it. You see, my dear friends, there are people who do not think spiritually. They think earthly. They think fleshly. And the fleshly can never accept or understand the spiritual. Why? Because those who think earthly have no life in them. They have no life in them. They are actually the walking dead, spiritually dead, spiritually condemned. And soon they will be thrown out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus tells us this morning, that physical, fleshly life counts for nothing. Only the Holy Spirit gives you life. There at the font, most of you were given life. You were given spiritual life. And then you come to this place and you hear the words of Jesus. And that life is nourished. It is fed, as you just sung in the sermon hymn. You see, eating and drinking, believing in Jesus is a free gift of eternal life. That's what it equals. Eat plus drink equals belief. And belief equals eternal life. Yes, I know. There are many in your family and there are many in my family who say they are Christians. Oh, they even look religious. But they aren't. They are not spiritual beings whatsoever. They have either walked away from the church or they have never come to Jesus, because a man cannot come to Jesus. He must be led to Jesus by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And those people who refuse to listen, those people who refuse the Holy Spirit, well, on the great last day, Jesus will tell them, I told you over and over and over again, I gave you time after time after time the opportunity to repent, but you refused. You refused my grace, you refused my mercy, and therefore you will now accept my justice. And Jesus will tell them, depart from me, for I do not know you. You see, Jesus knows a person's unbelief. But Jesus isn't responsible for a person's unbelief. A person, a man or a woman, is responsible for their unbelief, because they hear the word and they refuse to believe the word. It comes down to this, dear friends. They are comfortable in being an unbeliever. They are comfortable with thinking that they can attain heaven all by themselves. They are comfortable with the fact that what they do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it, will be acceptable to God. We know it as works righteousness. They know it as doing their own work, doing their own thing when they want to do it. But we know that will not save them, because they're trying to gain heaven in accordance with the law. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner to sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Did you hear what Paul said to the Galatians? Being given through faith in Jesus Christ, you are given a free gift. You are given life. And that's what the unbeliever can accept. They think they can attain life according to their own merit or their own work. How sad. How damning. But Jesus tells us that faith comes from hearing the message, the gospel. And the gospel is heard through the word of Christ. My friends, you are here today. because you have heard the word. Your soul has been fed, and the Spirit comes to you, and He leads you here to hear the words of life. And on the first Sunday of the month, or whenever the sacrament is celebrated here, it is the Spirit who leads you here to this altar, to receive from your Lord His body and His blood for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith into life and salvation. That's not your work. That is the work of the Holy Spirit leading you here, and then Jesus Himself serves you. These are the words of life. That you are saved by grace alone, in faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. So the question, do you also want to walk away? Or maybe I could ask it a better way. Do you still want to follow Him? After all, He told you that you must eat His flesh and drink His blood. And if you don't, you have no life in you. Do you really want to follow Him? Well, you don't have to answer, although you must answer. But the day Peter gives us the answer, he gives you the answer that you should confess, as you've just confessed in the Apostles' Creed. And what did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. There is no other place to go other than Jesus Himself. Peter admits that a man, that each and every one of you, and me included, cannot save himself, cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus, as you read in the, as you heard in the prayer this morning, the colic, Jesus is the way and the life. Jesus is the truth. Only Jesus satisfies your spiritual hunger, dear friend. Only Jesus is that bread of life that you need, that you must feast upon, so that you can live. Only in Jesus Christ do you have life. Only in Jesus Christ do you have fellowship with God. Only in Jesus Christ are there endless blessings. Only in Jesus Christ, yes, only in Him alone do you have eternal life. Oh, the world has a different message for you. You must be tolerant. You must tolerate everything. You must turn a blind eye to this or to that. But Jesus says, no, you are not to do this. And you heard it in the epistle this morning. You are not to associate with them, but you are to speak to them the truth. And the truth is this: without Jesus, there is no life. Without repentance of sin, there is no life. Without coming to church and hearing the word and partaking of the word, there is no life. It's abundantly clear. It's abundantly clear what Jesus means this morning. In His testimony, He tells us that He is the only way to God. Therefore this morning, you believe and you know the Holy One of God. For the Holy One of God is He who hung here on a cross, who went into a tomb, who rose the third day, who ascended into heaven, and will come again to bring each and every one of you into His eternal kingdom. Thanks be to Jesus that He is the only bread of life. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.